It's 4:06 and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up, if you're a person who's intimidated by the very act of starting a project, there are some surprising reasons why you may be having a hard time. We'll talk about procrastination in, about 15 minutes. But first, it's time for our weekly review of state news, the Wisconsin News Roundup. Presidential candidates are starting to make appearances around Wisconsin, and Governor Walker made some comments about his, as of yet, non-endorsement. We'll also get the latest on a sexual assault amnesty bill signed this week and the status of the Elizabeth Kingia outbreak in the state. For more on all of those stories, we're joined by Robert Menzer, storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So presidential hopefuls are descending on the state this week in hopes of winning over Wisconsin voters. And it seems like every day we hear about another planned appearance or a town hall. Ted Cruz made headlines for calling out Donald Trump yesterday in the village of Dane.
But you mess with my wife, you mess with my kids, that'll do it every time. Donald, you're a sniveling coward and leave Heidi the hell alone.
So what was the setup for that comment?
Yeah, he sounds angry there, and he, you know, he has a right to be. Donald Trump essentially retweeted a follower's fairly disgusting image that was mocking Ted Cruz's wife's appearance. Really sort of sophomoric stuff, but I guess that has been the tone of the primary that we're in, and so this is Cruz responding and sounding genuinely angry and being genuinely angry. Of course, about 2 seconds after that quote, a reporter asked, well, would you still support Trump if he's the nominee? And Cruz didn't say no. So it's a weird situation that we're in.
Well, and this is not the first time that something that Donald Trump retweeted has kind of backfired or come back to bite him a little bit, because he has retweeted things from some white supremacist groups and other things that people said, hey, are you paying attention to who you're retweeting?
Yeah, and he knows what he's doing. I mean, the Trump campaign is premised on the sort of rolling controversies that follow all the time, and this is one. And retweeting a white power people, white supremacist people, is another. And I think it's, you know, at this point, like, it's definitely a pattern. It's definitely a way that that Trump gets attention and sort of demonstrates kind of dominance over opponents. It's just not to the norms of what we expect from political leaders. And it's kind of gross.
And was there any response from Trump after hearing or being made aware of what Cruz said?
Trump is on to the National Enquirer story alleging infidelity by Ted Cruz. Cruz responded to that at a campaign stop in Wisconsin today as well, saying categorically false. And Trump is doing the same, you know, what Trump does, and sort of fanning the flames of that by saying, you know, oh, I don't know if this story's true. It could be true. Maybe it's not true. I hope it's not. But ensuring that people will continue to talk about it.
So other than calling out Donald Trump for those comments about his wife, what else has Ted Cruz been up to in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so Ted Cruz is campaigning hard in Wisconsin. He was he unveiled endorsement by the conservative group Right Wisconsin, the right-wing talk radio guy Charlie Sykes. This is interesting. There was a pretty interesting report that the Journal Sentinel did looking at Trump approval ratings among Republicans in Wisconsin, and Trump is really unpopular in the sort of Milwaukee suburban area, which is also one of the state's most Republican areas. Trump is quite unpopular. That is a contrast between the western and northern parts of the state, where Trump is pretty popular. And so what it amounts to is a more or less head-to-head race between Cruz and Trump, with then Ohio Governor John Kasich coming in significantly below both of them. So Cruz is really, really wants to win the state, but win delegates in the primary here, and sees it as an opportunity because that large conservative center is not Trump country.
And are the Wisconsin delegates awarded proportionally, or are we a winner-take-all state?
It's sort of a, well, it's not winner take all, but it's sort of a mix. There are, it's awarded by congressional district, and then there are some at-large delegates that go to the state's winner. So it's very complicated. You need, one of these math guys who's smarter than me to sort it out, but it's certainly not winner take all.
So you did mention Ohio Governor John Kasich. He has also been campaigning. And here he is in Milwaukee on Wednesday, brushing off talk of dropping out of the race.
Falling behind at fundraising, we've always been the little engine that can. There is zero chance that we would drop out before Wisconsin, and there'd be no reason for us to.
So what do you think Kasich is really hoping to gain in Wisconsin? I mean, I'm guessing that he doesn't honestly think that he's in a position to win, but why stay in for sure through Wisconsin?
Well, Kasich Kasich has an argument in Wisconsin. Ohio and Wisconsin demographically are not so different, and Kasich has the endorsement of former Governor Tommy Thompson, who's still quite popular. Former Governor Scott McCallum here, both were campaigning for him this week. So, just sort of on paper, Wisconsin could seem like it would be a good state for him. Kasich's argument for actually getting the nomination is weak. I mean, he's going to come in third here. He's not close to sort of challenging Cruz for the anti-Trump challenger status. But I think his argument is if Trump doesn't end up with a majority of delegates, if it turns out to be a brokered convention and the Republican convention, that maybe Kasich can make the argument that he is the best candidate going into the general election. So he wants to stay in to try to make that argument if everything goes wild at the convention.
We're talking with Robert Menser, storytelling editor for the Wausau Daily Herald and Gannett Central Wisconsin Media. And in other news this week, the governor signed a bill that aims to increase reports of sexual assaults on college campuses. What's the approach there?
Yes, so this is quite simply a bill that would grant amnesty on underage drinking charges for any person who comes forward and reports that they were a victim of sexual assault. So, in practice, it's probably not common, and police departments will tell you that they will not ticket someone for underage drinking if a woman says that she was sexually assaulted at a party or on campus or whatever. But this law, removes any uncertainty about that, and it just makes it that it is simply not something that a sexual assault victim needs to worry about. So that's the idea, is it removes one barrier that might cause victims to not want to come forward and report.
Well, and Rob, you just made a really important point. I think this is just one barrier, and if it's not in cooperation with looking at other reasons why victims don't report, and certainly that is a huge problem, do you think that this is going to have a measurable impact?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt about it. It needs to be understood as a small, sort of an incremental type of law. But on the other hand, it's probably better that it exists than not, right? There are a lot of barriers that have to do with social norms and will a woman be believed and shame and everything else. And those are all very complicated and we need to combat those for sure. But they also are hard to quite there's not a simple solution to that. This is not a broad solution. It's not a silver bullet type solution, but it is something that the government can do. They can remove any risk that someone would think that the police are going to disbelieve a woman and end up writing her a ticket.
And finally, Rob, this week, the State Department of Health Services released new information on the Elizabeth Kingia outbreak that's been going on around Wisconsin. First of all, what is Elizabeth Kingia?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's a bacteria. So this has been called a medical mystery. This is a new bacteria, just only discovered in 2011, and it's been tied to 59 infections in Wisconsin and at least 17 deaths, I think, in the life of the bacteria. One death in Wisconsin. The thing is, there's not a lot of science on this germ. Scientists are not sure how it spreads. spreads, not sure how to fight it. We do know that it is resistant to antibiotics. We know that it's mainly an issue for, especially for older people, people with compromised immune systems. And so a lot of the spread has been to people who are in hospitals or have otherwise compromised immune systems. But it's nasty stuff. It causes fever and chills and shortness of breath, and it's very it's unsettling to see see it spreading. This week it spread up to Winnebago County. It was the first case in Winnebago County. That's the farthest north it's been in Wisconsin. And so there's a lot of questions around what it is and how to stop it.
Well, we'll certainly keep tabs on that, and we'll look forward to speaking with you next week.
All right, thank you.
That was news editor Robert Menser helping us recap the biggest headlines from around the state this week for our Wisconsin News Roundup. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network, Wisconsin.